Overcoming obstacles such as sexism and discrimination by male artists, art critics, and art dealers, a group of fearless women, including Lee Krasner, Elaine de Kooning, and Joan Mitchell, made careers for themselves by embracing avant-garde painting. Heroines of Abstract Expressionism, now open at Fenimore Art Museum in Cooperstown, New York, offers visitors a special glimpse of a one-of-a-kind private collection of paintings, works on paper and sculpture by women artists who pioneered Abstract Expressionism in the United States during the 1940s and 1950s. Organized by the Fenimore, this major exhibition consists of over 30 works from the Richard Friedman and Cindy Lou Wakefield collection, featuring objects that are both visually mesmerizing and technically complex. Richard Friedman joins us this morning, along with Fenimore Director of Exhibitions, Chris Rossi. Good morning to the two of you. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Very nice.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having us on.
Well, thank you, Rick. Very nice to have you on the program, and a great pleasure. So, Chris, let us begin with you of how this very cool exhibit came about.
Well, Rick and I started talking, I think, about back in 2017, and he brought to my attention his collection, his considerable collection of modernist work. And looking through the collection, the thing that really stood out was that he had a remarkable number of women artists, some of which I had heard about. I knew about Lee Krasner and Helen Frankenthaler and Elaine de Kooning, but there are a lot of women that I was not familiar with. And after some discussion, realized that this is the show that we wanted to bring to Fenimore to tell the story of these women.
So the obvious question I have for you, Rick, is how you started collecting this work.
Well, you know, I started collecting because, like many collectors, they collect local artists. And I live in the Hamptons of Southampton, and I've read some books, one of which was Helen Harrison's Hamptons Bohemia, The History of Art in the Hamptons. And I discovered that a lot of the, you know, artists of the 50s, 60s, abstract period, New York School, if you will, were living in the Hamptons. So I said, wow, this is a great genre to collect. So I started collecting that. And then lo and behold, I discovered that many of the women were actually included in this. And many women actually lived out in the Hamptons either full time or most of the time. So I started to collect more and more of their works. And this exhibition actually has 19 women, acclaimed abstract artists from the 50s, 60s, you know, and I think it's the largest survey ever done in this topic.
So in a moment, I want to ask you about how the pieces were selected specifically for this exhibit, but let us shelve that question for a moment and allow me to ask you, Rick, as to your collection of, once you started this, what do you look for? What are you looking to include to give this the depth and the scope of these heroines of abstract expressionism?
Right. Well, I mean, that's a good question because a lot of people actually collect them. They might be a mile wide and an inch thick. And I decided, well, for me, it's better to have what's my collective voice. And my collective voice is 1950s, 60s, New York School, abstract expressionist. I never met a painting from the 50s that I didn't like. And I think it's important. And then we started to look at, you know, men's and women's. And yes, I do have a large collection of men. I have six Jackson Pollocks and 10 Willem de Koonings, and it goes deeper and deeper and deeper from that. But what we decided was that, you know, the women are really sort of overlooked and a little undervalued. And now, if you watch the landscape in the past 3-4 years, their ship has been coming in, so to speak, that basically the museums have recognized that their work has been maybe overlooked, and galleries have now, and collectors. And so there's more and more activity focused now on, who are these women painters of the 50s, 60s that really sort of were the pioneers, and their work is just as strong, maybe better than the men, and now their tides are rising. It's coming in, and it's a great time to collect them, actually.
So this survey of the 19 acclaimed abstract expressionist women artists that are included in this exhibit, Chris, how were they then selected to give this the the context that it's needed.
Well, you know, working with Rick's collection, we definitely kept a New York and a Long Island focus. So that's really where the story is taking place. And it's appropriate because this is when, with the advent of modernism, or more specifically, abstract expressionism, where you shift from Paris to New York as the center of the art world in the 1940s and 50s. So the 19 women give a good survey of that action, starting all the way from the 1940s and going up to the 1970s.
Hmm. So is it difficult? Was it difficult to pick the particular 19, or did that come fairly easy?
That came combination of ways, and a lot of it because we're working with a specific collection.
Yep.
We were working with the material in Rick's collection, but it was easy to make that story because Rick had collected people that told that story well. And I will also add that he was willing to purchase a few more pieces to round out the exhibit in places where it made sense.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, so you're on demand. That's nice, Rick. Good for you.
Well, you know, we wanted it to be a very strong showing and a strong comprehensive survey. So we wanted to, sort of reach out and expand as much as we could in that specific period and sector. And so 19 is the largest that's been shown in a museum. I think the famed Women of Abex, Abex Expressionism from the Denver Art Museum about 3 years ago, which was a very acclaimed show, was 12, of which I think four were from San Francisco. I want to also say there was a San Francisco movement at the same time, and several women in San Francisco also were painting in the 50s and 60s as well. But this study is really about the New York School.
And in that New York School, how difficult is it for you to find what you want, Rick, in the sense of the market and sure. you know what's out there, and you think, oh, well, that's perfect. Now I just need to get my hands on it.
Well, that's true. I mean, I was fortunate enough that I've been collecting that for about maybe 14, 15 years. So I started with Elaine de Kooning's and back. And you have to understand that these are local Hamptons artists, so they were more accessible locally than they may have been nationally or internationally. So I had access to them quicker, faster, easier, perhaps at a lesser price than someone else. So I had an advantage. But I have to say that in the past 2 or 3 years, these women artists are exploding in prices, both in the auction market and in the gallery market, and almost coming to a point where they're actually now at almost the same prices as the men, maybe even surpassing their men counterparts of the era. So they're actually becoming almost untouchable. So, you know, it's now very difficult to acquire these pieces. You have to really fight for them.
You must have mixed feelings about that. I mean, it's nice that obviously they're finally getting their due, and yet, when it comes to your collection, right, it is...
Right, the market. Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, the market reaction, the market's always looking for who's new, who's next, and you know, okay, you know, we've heard of Jackson Pollock, and okay, and we know Willem de Kooning, okay, and then, you know, we start, and as the prices, you know, skyrocket, it pushes people out of the buying audience there. So basically, you know, galleries and auction houses are always saying, well, who's next that maybe we can, you know, take on the rise and build up, and who should be recognized? You know, who needs to be rediscovered? And if you do the research, read the books. I mean, there's been a lot of books written. There's a popular book that just was written within the past year, Ninth Street Women, which became a very popular book in the past year that outlines the trials and tribulations of five or six of these leading women. In fact, so much so that Amazon Prime has auctioned, bought the rights to turn it into a television series, which they've hired actors and they're actually working on. Hopefully the TV series will premiere within the next year.
What was the, as far as the scene goes, the relationship amongst these women artists and assuming there was one?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I had a chance to... there's only one of the women of the 19 that is still alive, and she's Audrey Flack, and she lives in the Hamptons, not far from me, actually, and I know her socially. So I went and I interviewed her because we actually put together a wonderful catalog that goes with the show, and I interviewed her for the catalog, and we spent hours and hours, and she told me about what it was to actually socialize and be with all of them, and how they were, and the idiosyncrasies, and all that. I mean, there was no doubt that they were, you know, all, you know, tremendously driven and focused, and, you know, if you will, there was a hard drinking scene there at the Cedar Bar in New York, where they all sort of congregated in New York, and they were, you know, they were passionate, they were driven, they were hardworking, they could not be discouraged, they were focused. I mean, they really worked hard, and they had a network, and they were all friends, and they socialized, and they took classes together, they showed together, they went exhibitions together, they partied together. So there was a network, but they were a unique group. You know, when somebody becomes, because they had to break through a lot of barriers, and many of them did, some of them didn't. You know, but these were the women that basically had the drive and sustainability to actually make it through and last for 10, 20, 30, 40 years and have their works now mounted in museum shows and books written about them and this kind of recognition. So that's what it is. So it is, the New York School Women Rising. They certainly are rising, and it's a very important. And I think it's terrific for a very, if you will, New York-centric show like this to be up in Cooperstown, where, you know, where the North, where residents upstate New York, Albany, and the areas could actually come and see a sort of a very hardcore New York show locally, you know.
Hardcore New York show.
Yeah.
And what has the reaction been?
People love it, and we actually have a more diverse audience coming in. People that might not come in otherwise are coming in to see something new. Our visitors like the fact that we've got a wide range of topics, that we go from 19th century art to 20th century modernist work is really exciting for them, and add the element that these are women whose work hasn't been seen in many places before. It makes it all that more inviting. So it's been good.
And the conversations that this allows us to have about women in the arts overall, right?
Right, exactly. I think it's not like these women started making art and paved the way and then everything was fine and women were considered equal and off we went. So we're still having this conversation.
You know, Rick, you mentioned something of some of the women who didn't make it, who did not break through as some of the others did. What do you have a sense of why that is, and what allowed some to break through and others to not?
I think it was important for them to continue to live in the New York City area and to be showing in the galleries in New York City, to be close to the press and the art critics of that era. And many of them moved out of the area, moved to different places, and they sort of moved out of the scene. You have to understand, it was a very exclusive men's club at the time. You know, I think it was chaired by, you know, de Kooning and Jackson Pollock and you know, the Milton Resnicks and Mother Wells and all these fellows that were the sort of leading voices and sort of controlled the galleries and the scenes and hung out with the critics. And it was a men's club. So a lot of the women, you know, they couldn't break in, they sort of gave up or they left or they went and put obscurity, you know.
Is the work still out there, and what is it, how does it hold up against the others who did?
Well, I think like everything else, it's a question of rediscovery, and I think if galleries, museums, book authors want to focus on it, and there may be an opportunity to resurrect some of them to stardom. However, one of the things that to be rediscovered, you have to have had a certain level of success during your time. And if you hadn't had museum shows, had been in museum shows, or had major gallery shows, or been written about or critiqued, you know, it's very hard to be taken seriously, you know. But these 19 women that are in this, they have reached that level of success during the 50s and 60s. They were in museums, they were in shows, they were being written about, there were articles about it, you know what I'm saying? They had to reach a certain level of a claim, albeit not as high as the men, but at least they were somewhat recognizable.
Yeah. Say a year ago, where were these paintings in your collection?
They were scattered in my house.
Yeah. So,
floors.
So what is it like not having them there now?
Well, I mean, thank God I have enough depth in the collection that I've actually now have rehung all the walls and everything is fine now. And back to, I filled all the walls back with art.
So, Chris can go and pick her next exhibition.
You read my mind, so.
Yeah. But
that's
I also want to say how impressed I was when I went there the other weekend. And I looked at the way it was staged, and you know, with the descriptions of the artists, with their pictures and their bios on the wall, as well as a phone number that you can call up and actually get a voiceover quote from them about their art, about their philosophy, and that which was really fast. I actually thought I was talking to the artist a couple times. You know, it was eerie.
Well, it's
so, I mean, it's a terrific experience actually. To come and really witness and experience and really feel the flavor of the period of the 50s, 60s, and have all these great women artists all in one room, all speaking to each other. A tremendous dialogue in the room is happening at the time.
Unfortunately, we only have a minute left, but can you tell us what else is happening at the museum?
We also have more contemporary work. We've got Duane Michaels, a portraitist, and Duane Michaels was the first, one of the most inventive photographers. His photography is actually an art photography that's a melding of fine art and photography. That's on until November 10th and very much well worth seeing. And we just opened an exhibit of work by a local artist, Michelle Harvey's show is called Residuum, and those are watercolors of upstate New York in the vanishing landscape.
All of that in addition to Heroines of Abstract Expressionism, now open at Fenimore Art Museum in Cooperstown through the end of the year. Chris Rossi is Fenimore Director of Exhibitions. Rick Friedman, thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Joe, thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Chris. Always a pleasure.
Same here. Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.